Sheffield Live. Made in Sheffield, made by you.
Do you want to get your message heard? With low advertising rates and great sponsorship opportunities, Sheffield Live can help you reach thousands of local people. Get your campaign on Sheffield Live. To find out more about advertising on Sheffield Live, write to advertising@sheffieldlive.org or call 0114 281 4082. Do you like Sheffield Live? Why not become a friend of Sheffield Live? Sheffield Live is a community radio station, and friends of Sheffield Live are people in the community who make a regular donation to keep Sheffield Live on the air. Join the Friends of Sheffield Live by writing to friends@sheffieldlive.org or go online to sheffieldlive.org/friends.
This is Sheffield Live.
We're open for Business Live.
Hello, good morning and welcome to episode 396 of Business Live here on Sheffield Live, FM and DAB Radio, online and wherever you get your podcasts. And we're back with a very special episode today all about storytelling in business. Rebecca Collins is here with us. She is the brand coach at the Conscious Communication School, which she launched after becoming burnt out from 10 years in the mainstream media. And today she explains how to tell powerful and effective stories which align with your target audience. What that means in practice: no more panic posting, real authenticity rather than fake thought leadership, and a simple, clear approach you'll be able to put into practice yourself after listening to Rebecca. Plus, we riff on mainstream media and some amazing book recommendations. Let's hear from her now.
We're open for Business Live.
Rebecca, thanks so much for joining us on Business Live today. How are you doing?
I'm very well. I'm so excited to catch up with you, Jamie. How are you doing?
Me too. I'm super excited too. I'm very well, thank you. I'm very excited, actually. Storytelling, such a powerful, magical component of building a business. Tell us a little bit about you as a brand coach at the Conscious Communication School. You're more than that. It's your business. Tell us about you.
It is, yeah. So I'm sure we'll go into the nitty-gritty of my story a little bit, but I'm the brand coach at the Conscious Communication School, as you said. And in a nutshell, Jamie, what I do, I help small businesses share their message and tell the right stories so that they can attract the right clients. So if you're struggling with imposter syndrome, or you feel like maybe you can't keep up with your marketing, or you feel like maybe you can't, you feel like you're struggling to stand out in your niche because there's so many people doing the same thing, we boil it all of that down into a story first approach to brand strategy, and just really simplifying the whole thing so you feel confident in your unique value, in actually creating a brand strategy that is feasible within running the rest of your business, because of course we're wearing so many hats when you're a small business owner, and just really resonating with stories that you feel that you can tell across a brand campaign that your audience will resonate with as well. And that's what I do through the Breakthrough Brand Story Method, whether that's through one-to-one coaching or if I'm coming on board to actually help create that content, however people want to work with me.
Okay, lovely. Brilliant. I'm sure lots of folk will absolutely recognise what you've just talked about in terms of wearing so many hats. So what sort of businesses do you work with the most?
So I do have a soft spot for social enterprises.
Right.
And later on in this year, sort of November time, I actually am doing a talk with the Sheffield Social Enterprise Network. But it's very much sort of one-man bands, small businesses that want to really make an impactful message, but maybe are struggling with that. I do love working with women-led businesses, but obviously if a bloke came along and needed support in that respect, I'd absolutely love to work with them as well. But anybody that's got an impactful message and wants to run a purposeful business, who really values authenticity, because that's something that I really care about. I love working with people in that respect so that we can help find what their message is and then articulate that in a way that feels right for them. And that's why I really resonate with story as a modality to do that, because I think it's one of the quickest and easiest ways to find find your message, the big bang to what kickstarted your whole business off, really, is how I like to summarize that. So I guess those sort of people who are like me.
Excellent. Well, that's a well good way, a very powerful way to spot a niche. Yeah. You mentioned purpose-led businesses that want to make positive change, social enterprises, entrepreneurs, small entrepreneurs, and so on. So once we get into the sort of unpacking what a story first strategy really means, which we'll do in a sec, but perhaps before we get there, I wondered what they struggle with, because you've hinted at sort of getting in front of the right clients, the ideal clients, in a really noisy world when there are so many other things competing for our attention. But what is it that a client will sort of reach out to you and say, I need some help because I'm struggling with ... What's the biggest problem that folk are facing?
I think there's so many things. I think one of the biggest things, Jamie, is it could just be that belief in themselves. I guess that's a big one that people come across. It's maybe there's that they know that they want to do something important and they've got a message that they want to share, or that the business, the actions that they want to do in their business is really important, but they maybe don't have that belief in themselves, or that they are special enough or important enough in that capacity, because there's people that maybe have been doing it for 10 years longer than them, or have reams and reams of qualifications, or you know, what can I possibly offer that's, you know, that's different or special, or what can I possibly say that hasn't been said a million times before. And I think people can get really bogged down in that and start overthinking. And then they're thinking, oh my God, now I've got to try and create loads of content for my marketing plan for the next 3 months. And then kind of going, oh God, should I even be saying this in the way that I should be saying it? Should I even be on this platform? Should I be on all these different social media platforms at the same time? Am I just talking to a brick wall right now? So it's kind of that sort of inner monologue that you have with yourself that you question kind of every action that you're doing, or the content that you're putting out. And it's really about pressing, going, okay, let's pause. Let's just like bring it back down to, why are you doing what you're doing? And stop worrying about trying to just add to the noise of content that's already out there, and making sure that you're creating something that is meaningful and is sharing your values and is sharing, I've mentioned it already, but that big bang moment that made you go, oh my gosh, this is what I want to do. And if, when you can bring it back down to that, it just simplifies the whole thing, and you are able to communicate it. And we can talk a little bit more about the power of story and kind of the frameworks that you can use. But when you boil it down to that, it makes the process of your branding and your content creation so much easier. So I think that in a nutshell is something that people struggle with. And related to that as well is, and this is something that I'm really passionate about, but we get very much thinking about ourselves. Maybe we're overthinking. Yeah. It can become a bit me, even though we're wanting to go out there and create an impact. If you start thinking about your audience, what does your target audience want, rather than do I look silly posting this, or maybe I shouldn't be going to this networking event and sharing my story with this person because maybe I'm not, whatever. If you stop worrying so much about yourself and start thinking about, oh, if I share this part of my story, somebody could really get a lot of value out of that. And just flip it and think about the audience that you could be helping, rather than putting yourself, front of mind, if that makes sense.
Yes, that really does make sense. And I'm sure that is a very helpful tip, because we can be so obsessed with, to the point of damaging ourselves, what people might think about something in a negative way, that it actually stops us, a sort of perfection paralysis in terms of doing the thing. And what you said earlier as well, it's what gives me the right to barrier. You know, oh, I can't put myself out there because... what gives me the right there to, but as you say, if you boil it down, the big bang moments and so on. I mean, I'm sure, did the inventors of the Raspberry Pi sort of think, no, we can't put a new sort of piece of hardware out there because Apple and Toshiba and Samsung and other companies have already got computers out there. Maybe they did, maybe they didn't, but they still got on with it and got the thing out there. And, you know, their unique take on the thing. This is a physical thing, but we do hear this quite a lot in terms of, oh, there's already other people out there and they're better than me. But I think it's really interesting, isn't it? Because it's not about being the best at it. It's doing something your way and finding people who really resonate with your way of doing it.
Absolutely. Yeah, 100%. Sorry to interrupt you there, yeah. But I'm just like, if you could see me, I'd be nodding very emphatically right now. But it's that, and you probably won't be the best when you start out. And even maybe if you have been doing it for 10 years, you might not be. You might be really good. But when you're leaning back into your why and the message and that mission, it takes the pressure off, because then you say, okay, this is just what I want to do. And I'm going to help as many people as I can through the service or the product that I've created. And that's enough. So I think it's really, really powerful when you do lean into story. You're able to connect with that. And it allows you to share your vision, yes, rather than just giving yourself a title. So instead of just being like, oh, I run the Conscious Communication School, when I talk about the fact that I am a brand coach, and if I talk a little bit more about my story, about how I used to be a TV producer, and then I kind of had this light bulb moment and wanted to go in a completely different direction because I wanted to share more meaningful content, it makes people go, oh, wow, that's really interesting.
Yes.
So if you're able to share the vision rather than just the title, people will resonate with that. And within the story, you're able to communicate your values, so the behaviors and how you operate within your business.
Yes.
And then your audience will go, that's, I do that too, or I like that. You can share your credibility. So maybe you do have some qualifications or your background, even if it's, I don't know, maybe you're a carer and you used to care for a family member or something. You can share that credibility, but in a way that isn't just skills on a resume, because obviously it's not the same as the corporate world. And of course, you can share the vision and the unique value, which that all adds up to through the different story formats, whether that's a news feature or an article in a magazine that you've got, whether that's on a podcast, whether that's at a networking event or a workshop that you're doing, whether it's on your about page. You can share these story nuggets or aspects of your life, chapters, I guess, is what I'm thinking of here, in a way that is compelling and allows you to share a vision rather, yes, than just a list of things, which makes you do feel like you're lost in the crowd of competitors.
Yeah, too right. Absolutely. So it's all aligned with that vision, with your values in terms of how you do things, and your mission. And but it's bringing it to life for people as well. And something that struck me from your website was doing it this way means no more panic posting. What do you mean by that?
I think it's that it's Sunday. It's Sunday night. And maybe you have a little click onto LinkedIn or Instagram and you see all these people who seem to be living their best lives, because of course we don't post the things that aren't going so great. We post it. Here we are at this amazing networking event. Or you see all these other people doing these fabulous things, posting their stories and their content. And you go, oh my God, oh, I need to post something. I need to stay relevant. I need to do that reel from that trend that I've seen. Maybe that will help. So it's about a little bit more calmly and go, okay, well, why don't we look at the underlying reasoning behind behind my business and actually take the time to put those building blocks in place when it comes to content, and also building a story bank, which is something that I like to do with people, so that when it does come to Sunday, you've already got some things scheduled for the week, or if you are a little bit ad hoc that week, you're not worrying about what to say to people because maybe you've already got a few things that you've been keeping track of that you can actually post online.
Yes.
Or share in person, because of course it comes in different formats. But it's about taking that fear out. And also, yes, related to that, the panic part of it is when you've clicked send or submit, going, okay, that's enough. That's fine for now, because the more you do it, the more confident you will get with the process and just being like, this is me. At whatever, yes, stage of your business you're at, this is me and this is enough. And maybe in 2 weeks' time or a month's time, you'll be even more confident or comfortable in the stories and the content that you're sharing.
Yeah, that all makes sense. If we're listening to this and we're thinking, okay, I want to go to Rebecca's event in November at Union Street. Yes, I'll book for that and we'll give the details of that. Or I want to take a look at the website and learn more. Okay, people can do that. We'll put the links in the show notes as well. But in the meantime, let's have some a quick walkthrough in terms of small business owner running a business. What do I do first? How do I start?
Sure. Okay. So the first thing, Jamie, that I'd love to clarify is for people listening, there is more than one story. I've kind of hinted at it already. There isn't just here is your brand story and that's it. So, but what we're going to do for the purpose of this exercise, we're going to look at your origin story, which is kind of typically what people think of when you talk about brand storytelling, is that it's kind of like the fulcrum where the business all originated, and it's the foundation that all the other stories that you're posting, whether that's a behind the scene post of kind of something that you've done that week or an interview with a local like journalist or something, this is kind of the thing that it all boils down to. And there's a reason we start with the origin story, because for all the reasons that we've already talked about, it contains the message or the moral of your story, the why, your credibility, the values, your unique value. And it's kind of like a shorthand for this is what I stand for. So just for context, that's what we're going to look at now. And okay. There's different ways that people do this, but I use a framework called the five C's, and it's or six depending on how many story beats you want. But it comes down to this idea of, even if you've never written a story in your life or you haven't done anything like this maybe since like GCSE English, you can boil down your origin story to these key story beats, and all you have to think of is, okay, I've got these five C's. And you can also apply this as well to maybe you have got other kind of like story evolution or additional chapters to your story as your business has developed. And the five C's are context, catalyst, crisis, confront, and closure. And we can go through those very briefly if you like, just so we've got a bit of a context, pardon the pun, to each of those, and how you can use these to convey your why and how you operate within your business. And really, right, what these things we want to be looking for is we want to be highlighting these key milestone moments that have happened within your life that, again, act as that shorthand for how your business runs. So you're looking for those like light bulb moments, those mini successes, those rock bottoms, which maybe you're a little bit ashamed of and try and forget. That's where we want to bring them to the forefront, because they're the things that people will go, Oh, that happened to me, or oh, I so relate to that.
Yep.
You know, those dreams, realizations, maybe any changes in your life path where you've gone, oh, I wanted to be a teacher, and actually now I'm an astronaut or something.
Yes.
Those are the things you want to be looking for. So what I say to start off for people, just get a blank piece of paper and just start brainstorming those milestone moments in your life. Maybe you had a kid, maybe you went to university, whatever, just plonk it all down and get it out of your brain. And then what we're going to do is we're going to narrow those down and streamline them to just a small handful of maybe 5 to 6 points, which will relate back to that context, catalyst, crisis, confront, and closure. So we don't want to be writing our entire life story. This isn't meant to be chapter and verse, but just sort of get those brainstorm kind of key points down, whatever springs to mind. And then you're going to create like a map. So you can almost imagine it like a little timeline. And I've actually got a sheet. Maybe I might be able to send you that, actually, if people want to do like have a downloadable where they can use that to do their story beats. And we're just going to plot them out, chronology. So context would just be kind of what's that starting point before. I don't know if you know much about kind of story, sort of methodology from an academic perspective, but before the inciting incident, before that thing that happened, when everything, you're kind of in that equilibrium state, everything was fine, the boat hadn't been rocked yet, what were you doing? So mine, for instance, kind of just to break it down in a very formulaic way, I worked as an online producer, and then I became a TV producer. And I thought, this is it. This is my dream. I'm going to be, this is it forever. Until that catalyst moment where I had this, I was in a production meeting, and I was just like, this, the disillusionment started to set in.
Yep.
So it's like, okay, so there's that inciting incident. Something's not sitting right. Maybe you had an accident. Maybe, yeah, something happened that made you question how you were living your life before. And then from that, the crisis is where the conflict comes in. So again, for me, it would be, I was in that denial. I was trying to ignore it. I was trying to just carry on with my dream producer job, but something was eating at me like, this isn't right.
So this is soul searching. Yes.
It's the soul searching. It's the, I don't know about this. And kind of it's maybe there is a rock bottom in that. In a story, you're looking for that conflict that people are going to resonate with. And then, of course, there's following on from that is confront.
Yeah.
And that's where you go, okay, what am I going to do about it? So that could be, maybe you have the solution to your business idea. You've got a problem, and now maybe there's the solution, or I'm going to try that. So for me, that was, I'm going to go traveling. I met all these amazing small business owners, and I thought, aha, I do have a new career path. I'm going to start my own small business. And then the closure of that. And then the last point is closure. It's kind of, where are you now? What are you doing? What's your mission? So somewhere along those lines, Jamie, you're going to find that kind of questioning your values, getting clear on what your value is, and that big bang moment. And that's really what we want to be looking out for. And from that, what is the why? What is the thing that made you go, do you know what? This is what I want to do.
Yes.
So that's kind of it in a whistle stop tour. I appreciate that was very, very fast, but it's helping you go, okay, this is what my vision is. And I can simplify it by breaking it down into these five key points and just making sure that throughout the whole of that, you're going, okay, does this align with my audience's values? Because ironically, although you're kind of writing your origin story, the main character of it is actually your target audience, your target client. So that just making sure that they are reflected back in the story. But that's kind of it. To summarize it, it's those five. You might have six C's. Maybe there's kind of another mini crisis moment or something, or a conflict stage. But you want to be going from where were you, maybe, I don't know, 10 months, a year ago, 5 years ago, and where are you now? And what were those stepping stones that you took, those decisions that you made, and what were the values underpinning that?
That makes sense. Context, catalyst, crisis, confront, confrontation, then closure. Five C's, possibly six C's. You've brought it to life as well with illustrating your own journey, your own process through this, how you've got to where you are now running this business, which is fascinating in terms of that moment of disillusionment in a meeting. Then the souls of, you know, from being in what you thought was your dream career, hitting that moment of disillusionment, soul searching, is it right for me? Am I in the right place? Does it meet my values? Is it everything I expected, hoped and dreamed for? No, it's not. What can I do about it? Confronting it, you talked about going traveling and perhaps giving yourself the space to think about how you wanted to address this, deal with this, move forward, what do next, the closure, and there could be an extra step within that. But you talked about mapping this on a big piece of paper, putting those milestones down, and really, really thinking whether this is relevant to your audience, to the people you want to work with, love working with, and so on. So would you have done anything in terms of the traditional marketing persona or avatar before you'd gone through this process of the five C's? Would you have done that first, or would you do that next? Where do you do?
Yeah, so I think it's important. There's an understanding, I guess, before you're mapping your story, that you do know your customer and what their problems are and what are their needs, so that you're kind of not going into this blind. So I think that's something just important to bear in mind. So yes, that's a good point.
Yeah, brilliant. And do you have a way of doing that sort of customer persona mapping or audience mapping that works particularly well for you and your clients? Do you help them with that, or would you step in at the story stage?
Yes, so it really depends, I guess, on what level they want to work with me. So if you're wanting to just have, I offer a few things, just to, not to toot my own horn too much, but there's the Unique in 90 brand strategy session, which is a 90-minute session. So we will look at your target audience and do kind of an avatar breakdown and look at, okay, the kind of the classics, like, where are they? How old are they? What industry do they work? All of that.
Yep.
We do have templates that will work with that. But if you want to go deeper through the, I offer the 6-week breakthrough brand story method course. And that's where we go much deeper on that. And we've got a whole module where we look at a target audience, and you've got that space to go away before the following module, which is brand story. We first look at, okay, who is your audience and why do you like working with them? What do they need help with? And just going that little bit deeper, which maybe we're not quite able to quite as much on the Unique in 90, but those sessions are great if you've just got maybe fast turnaround content, or you just need that clarification on your brand. It's great for that. So that's definitely something I would recommend, is make sure you kind of, you have your customer in mind before you jump into your story, so that you know what your story is trying to say. And that's something I haven't mentioned yet. Actually, there's three areas really that you want to be making sure that every story-driven content contains. We've just been talking about the audience, so obviously that's essential. You need to know who it's for.
Yep.
And there's purpose. So what's the purpose of the story or the content that you're putting out there? Your story, in some way, it's meant to move people emotionally, but also kind of in the more obvious definition of the word. Maybe that's to click on your website or subscribe to your newsletter, or just maybe just keep you in mind. It really depends on what the what you have decided before you start writing. What is the purpose of that piece of content going to do? So that when it's out into the world, the audience receiving it is responding in the way that you'd like them to. So, because there's no point you writing, I don't know, like a massive long paragraph on LinkedIn that isn't really doing anything and doesn't really point to anything, I guess.
No, indeed. So what's your most wanted action? Do you want people to trust you more than they did 5 minutes beforehand? Do you want them to actively do something like click a link? Do you want them to download a worksheet, phone you up, or book a place on an event, or whatever? It could be any and more of those things.
Absolutely. Just make sure you know what is the purpose of the content that you're putting out there. What's the audience? Who is it for? And what is the format? Is the other thing that I really like to educate people on, because of course we all know that Instagram isn't the same as LinkedIn, isn't the same as an online article, isn't the same as your about page. So it's really looking at what's the format and making sure that you're delivering it in the right vehicle, I guess. So just bearing that in mind as well before you even think about typing away or pressing record.
Yeah, and format, channel, timing, this is about knowing your audience. Is that correct?
Yeah, 100%. Yeah, and obviously, the more you get to know them, the more you'll be able to tailor your content, and the more you'll get to reflect your brand more authentically as a result.
Yeah, and we've had the word authentic come up a couple of times. You've mentioned it 2 or 3 times, Rebecca, and I'm looking at LinkedIn and seeing a absolute tower of posts.
Go on. I was just wondering where this is going.
I was trying not to swear. I thought I might have to bleep myself. but a tower of posts, probably many posted with great intent by very busy people who are panicking that everyone else is doing something and they should too. But also that's the context. And then the reality of what that leads to is there are a lot of posts which perhaps look like they might have been generated by ChatGPT or other alternatives.
Yes. That's one way of describing it. Yes,
And are sort of trying in a really simplistic way to push some emotional buttons in terms of, if you're nice to the receptionist on your way into the job interview, you get the job type thing. You really, really silly, simplistic copy and paste things. And, you know, it's become this place where everyone's a thought leader, everyone's churning out stuff, and a lot of it isn't authentic at all. Does it worry you, frustrate you when you see things that possibly AI driven or possibly simply kind of done less thoughtfully than that than could be the case?
Yeah, I think it doesn't frustrate me. It makes me feel sad, though, because I think sometimes when you go onto sites, it feels like a mad scramble. And like, and you mentioned the word thought leader.
Which makes me want to throw up, sorry.
Yeah, but at the same time, there is validity in that. And we can come back to the whole thought leader thing. I think on the one hand, I'm like, okay, you're trying. So, and that's better than, think about all the people there that have said that they want to start a business. And yep. aren't because they it's this it's nicer isn't it? You can have the perfect business idea in your head, but but compared to somebody who's at, you know, going out there and maybe has done like a load of dog's dinner content and stuff, but no shade to those people at the same time, because they're trying. And you hope from that, this is my hope anyway, is the more you put out, it's a feedback loop. So hopefully you'll get better, and you should be paying attention to how your content is doing, because and similarly just how your business is doing, because what you need to get that feedback so that you can improve your product or improve your messaging. So on the one hand, it's like, yes, this is good, but only if you're paying attention to how people are responding to it. If you're doing the exact same thing in 6 weeks' time and you're not generating authentic leads. Also, I appreciate that's kind of become a bit of a buzzword too, authentic. But if you're not connecting with like-minded people who you want to work with, then maybe you should be going, hey, maybe this way isn't working. And secondly, I've said this as well already, you need to be where you're at in your business. So you will have you would assume anyway, that you have some level of expertise, that you're doing the thing that you want to do because you have something important that you want to share. You want to help people in some capacity, and you want to share that, and you want to talk about it. When you really boil it down to what you're doing as a business owner. So you need to be where you're at. At whatever stage of your business is. So you'll have some degree of expertise that you want to share within your community that you're building. And you can be, I don't know if there's a word for it, but like a mini thought leader. You don't have to blow up your chest or try and be any version of yourself that you're not yet. You're not Tony Robbins. You know, so but you have things that you can share with people, but you don't need to overinflate it or make it look like you're more important than you are. Just know that whatever level of your business you're at right now, and the knowledge that you have to share and your journey, people will be interested in that, because they are maybe on a similar level of their journey, or maybe they just were. Or maybe there's somebody just a little bit behind you who's looking, going, that's interesting, maybe I could try that. Or, wow, that would really help, whatever the thing is. If you're just sharing where you're at in your business journey, I think that's enough. You don't need to try and be bigger or more of a thought leader than you already are at the stage. That will come with time, but just be genuine with the stage of your business and the lessons that you've learned that week, or the lessons that you've learned in your career that you now want to impart with people, and just bring it back down to a much more grounded level.
Yep. That's really super helpful. And I think there'll be sighs of relief. There'll be light bulb moments clicking into place for lots of folk there. Brilliant. So Rebecca, actually, we've moved on now. We're at Becky. Phase. So in the interview, if that's okay with you.
That's fine by me.
Great stuff. So we've had some lots of practical tips and advice here in terms of mapping, in terms of thinking through audience, purpose of the story, format. We've talked through being where you're at. And I think what you've just talked about in terms of anyone who's looking at certain channels and seeing what appears to be a huge amount of content and wondering how to, you know, how or whether to be part of that. And when phrases like thought leader are being thrown about so much, that's really, really helpful what you've just talked through. Mm-hmm. I wanted to ask you a little bit about the light bulb moments that you've had. You've talked a bit mm-hmm. about being an online producer and a TV producer, having that disillusionment. So you were working something like 60-hour weeks. You're working in TV, and a lot of folk will be thinking, that sounds glamorous, stimulating, rewarding in terms of seeing your work on screen. What was your reality like?
I don't know about the 60-hour week part being glamorous, but there definitely were, Jamie, some like glamorous elements to it. I'm not going to lie, like kind of the fun parts of being on a live studio set or being on a documentary shoot or traveling abroad for work and getting to meet some really interesting people. All of that was amazing, and that's partly why I went into television in the first place. Or I should say, as you mentioned, I started in online production and then I went into television producing. And my whole thing, and it still is this, is was to help people share their message, because that's what I love doing. And it didn't matter whether it was a YouTube video or an online article or a pre-recorded documentary film or a studio piece. I loved working with people to help articulate whatever the thing was that they wanted to share. And I got to work on lots of different shows, from like science shows, food shows, daytime television, like more investigative journalism stuff. And it was all amazing until it wasn't. And I think it sort of happened gradually over time, where I genuinely thought at one point, okay, I'm going to be running the BBC, or I'm going to be whatever the thing was, like that was going to be it. And slowly over time, I don't know whether it was the types of shows I started to work on, but this thing started gnawing at me that maybe I could be using my passions and my gifts for more meaningful content. And yeah, no dig to the mainstream media, because I appreciate that there are lots of people that still get immense amounts of value from it, and I totally understand that. But I just found that I was writing stories or creating content that I just didn't feel, I was like, is this it? Like, is this as meaningful as it's going to get for me sharing people's message? Is this what I'm supposed to be doing? When I kind of knew, because I have friends in the entrepreneur space, when I knew that there were people that had amazing messages from their own stories and their own thing that they wanted to share, and I wasn't really doing that, but I was aware, kind of in my peripheries, that there's the more meaningful messages out there that I could be sharing. So that was kind of how it started. And there was a production meeting where I was thinking, wow, okay, I'm not sure about this anymore.
Right.
So that was kind of the first I don't know about this anymore. Yeah.
No, fair enough. Okay. And you mentioned no criticism necessarily of the mainstream media. It's where lots of people want to be, and it continues to serve audiences in a way that many people value. But it's also perhaps diluted now compared with its power of, you know, years and decades ago, when there was far less choice in terms of channel and media and platforms than there is today. But as I say, it remains extremely powerful. And we only have to look at the effect of documentaries like the one into the post office scandal, which told the story. And again, I mean, it's a huge demonstration of the power of story, told the story of the Horizon scandal, the postmasters affected, and so on. That story had been told by brilliant journalists in Private Eye and a computer magazine and the Times newspaper and various other places without anything really happening in terms of justice. Then there's this brilliant sort of TV piece on it, and people had to act then. And I suppose it made me think that for anyone listening to this who thinks that getting their impact, their purpose story about what they do and why they do it and how they do it, and they want to try and engage a mainstream TV producer in that and grab their interest and attention and hopefully get some coverage, I wonder if we can ask you for one or two top tips in terms of what producers are looking for, because you must have received lots of pitches for the types of shows you were doing.
So many. And yes, absolutely. Like, I do have a soft spot for the mainstream media, even though I don't work in it anymore. And also, kind of before I give those tips, I do want to also highlight social media is no saint. Let's be honest, there's also lots of noise on there. But it's just, I guess you can have more autonomy, is what I was hankering for at that point, which is kind of why I work with branding and small businesses now. So in terms of mainstream media, yes, it's an amazing tool, and it is something that I actively encourage people to look into, actually, whether that is like a sit down interview or indeed a maybe it's an online piece for a newspaper or magazine, like, or even in print, because print's it's still here, it's still kicking. So the first thing is having a peg. So a peg basically is the what's a topical thing, like where's the newsworthy element, like something that's relevant to today. It's in the zeitgeist, it's a talking point, it could be a talking point or it could be a thing that has happened. It's basically why now is is kind of what a peg is. So when you're pitching a story, it can be really, really helpful if there is a newsworthy element to it. So is it something that's being talked about, dare I say the demure trend, even though it's very past the TikTok very demure trend, if you know what I'm on about, Amy. But
yes,
is there something that's happening, is there like something trending right now, is there something, has something happened in the news and that you've got a take on it, whether that's an opinion or you've been affected by it or whatever. So thinking about what's something newsworthy right now, that you can get that right at the top, because then people are like, okay, this is something that we can, that is timely. And people want, and it's in the news cycle right now. So that's very, very helpful. And another thing that I think is immensely helpful is when you're pitching to a journalist, ask yourself, where's the heart? So often if I went into a pitching meeting, sometimes you might pitch a story to an exec, and they might just look at you and go, well, where's the heart? And by that, they mean you might have kind of the building blocks, but if the emotion or the case study is missing, then you haven't really got a story. So you need to look at kind of like where are you pulling at the heartstrings, not to make it so kind of reductive, but you want to be looking at where's the emotive element that people are going to relate to. Even if they haven't been in the same shoes as you, they might have felt the same emotion or something similar to that. So if you have a case study that can kind of articulate that, you may be the case study, but you're kind of bringing it back to the raw emotion that felt and really just highlighting how you felt at certain points in the story. That's immensely helpful. I think researching, making sure that you're pitching to the right place. Again, this kind of comes back to formats. This is something that is universal. So if you are like, I was really excited to actually pitch to you. This is a good example because I like talking and I know that we had a connection, and I thought this would be a great opportunity because I love podcasting and conversations and things. So
indeed,
thinking about the vehicle that you want to be sharing, like, is it going to be a news piece or whatever? So making sure that you're pitching to the right place and that it's the right target audience again.
Yep.
And also the right journalist as well. So you don't want to be pitching to the intern or someone in production rather than editorial. So who's somebody that actually handles the stories? So if you had an opinion piece, make sure it's going to the opinion editor. Do you know what I mean? Like, it sounds a lot of what I've been talking about probably just sound really obvious, but you'd be surprised at how much of this gets lost when you're trying to like churn out loads of content for your brand. So I think they're kind of three really important things I'd suggest for people to consider.
Brilliant. Super powerful stuff there. And like you say, it isn't necessarily stating the obvious because it's so common that people get these things absolutely wrong, sadly, which affects their ability to be heard, to have their story heard by the right people in an impactful way. And it's funny, isn't it? I mean, a lot of what you said applies, say, for example, to social investors, to social enterprises trying to pitch social investors. And I think back to a wonderful conference about investing into social enterprises where an investor who, you know, deploys a lot of capital into making social investments into social enterprises stood on stage and says, well, it's about spreadsheets and stories. We get you to send us a spreadsheet of your business, your social enterprise in this case, to look at the profit and loss or the sustainability, et cetera, you know. But really, if you've told us a fantastic story that tugs at our heartstrings, that, you know, resonates with us, which we can remember about why you do what you do and how you do it and how it makes a difference, then that makes us make the decision. And the spreadsheet helps us to justify the decision.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so it's so true. And there's a few statistics out there, but 55% of consumers are actually more likely to remember a story than a list of facts. I appreciate the irony. Every time I think about that, and I'm like, that in itself is a statistic. But it's important to bear that in mind because we are hardwired as human beings. And this is like, I don't want to geek out too much today, but we are hardwired as human beings to connect with story. I mean, we were doing it before we were writing. It's how there's a tribalism to it. And and that's why. So we are literally hardwired biologically to remember story. So why not use that in your business, like as part of your campaign, when you're thinking about what you want to put out for the next 3 months? Using a story first approach is incredibly powerful and simple as well. It just simplifies it.
Wonderful. Do you have any examples of anyone? I mean, you don't have to sort of break confidentiality, you can speak in general terms if you like, about people who've been able to sort of supercharge their business, reach the right people, or go from zero to hero, or however we want to put it, by using this approach that you've seen, you've observed, you've helped them along the way, that you're especially proud of?
Yes, I do. There's a client I've been working with recently, and she's a new business. She actually is a social enterprise. She runs a business for autistic families with autistic children, just getting the phrasing right there. Mm. And she came to me, wanted to launch her business and wanted to kind of, she was like, well, I don't know what my story is and I need to create all this content, and just was kind of getting very in her head about it. And we've been working together to help her unpick all of that and get her really confident so that she can do things like go on podcasts, go and do workshops and talks in schools eventually, and with workshops, and kind of explain what her vision is so that she can start to build up those partnerships and actually build up this resource for families who are struggling with autistic children, and kind of bridging the gap between the spaces that maybe don't fully understand or aren't really listening to the family. So she's making this amazing resource to try and make life easier for families that have autistic children. And from actually doing the workshops sessions with me and helping her practice and articulate that and starting to build connections with those partners that she may want to work with, she's getting more confident from that and then is actually able to share her story without worrying about, oh, did I say that right? Or what do people think of me? Because at the end of the day, all she's doing is going, this sucks, I want to fix it, and I'm the person to fix it because I've got this firsthand experience of it, and let me tell you how, and let me tell you why. And when you really think about that, it takes away that, again, you're not thinking about yourself, you're thinking about who you want to help. So we did that, and from that I'm just seeing her flourish, and it's amazing to see, and I'm so excited to see how her business flourishes over the next few months or years. So it's just it's things like that it's all about, Jamie. And yes, it's a privilege to be able to be a part of other people's businesses. Yeah,
I can hear the excitement in your voice. It must be a joy. So, Becky, we have covered a lot of ground, and I want to ask you to highlight how people can find out more about the forthcoming event and where they should sort of look first on your website, just in a moment or two. Just before we get there, I think we've got time to throw one or two very quick things into the mix. So, what about consuming stories, listening to and engaging with or watching, or, well, I say consuming because there are multiple formats of story, but consuming story for fun, for pleasure, for creative joy. Are you someone who loves film or books or listening to podcasts you've talked about? What are the ways in which you enjoy story?
I love this question. Okay, well, I am a story fiend. So I basically devour like anything and everything. I love podcasts, as you've probably already gathered. I've always got my head in a book, both fiction and non-fiction. I don't really have a preference. I kind of flit. So I might read some fiction for a bit and then I go, do you know what? I'm going to get stuck into a personal development book. And also things like, I love TikTok because it's naughty. It's so addictive. You've got to be careful. That's the thing. Not all stories are created equal, and you've got to watch out for things like algorithms and stuff and the gamification of, yeah, I guess, online content. That's kind of a bit of a separate issue. I could talk all day about that, but I do. I think some of the content creators on TikTok are amazing. So I think, yeah, just making sure there's variation in the content that you're consuming. I think that's really important because it will also give you inspiration for your own ideas, and just being open to different formats, whether it is a good film. So I don't really have a preference. I just think it's an amazing way to contextualize your life and your business and give meaning. Yep. And it's incredible.
Yes.
What can I say?
Brilliant. Yeah, it really, really is. Absolutely. And that joy of discovery and adventure when you are fully immersed in a story, whatever the format, it's listening to a brilliant podcast or it's reading an amazing book or whatever, but it's immersion, isn't it? It really is. Great. I wonder if there's anything that you found yourself consistently sort of recommending, giving to people, whether it's a book or telling people about a film or a TV series or a TikTok creator even. I'm obviously deliberately not using the word favorite because we can feel that something is our favorite in the moment today and something totally different tomorrow. But so I'm thinking in terms of consistency, have you sort of told people about, you said there are some amazing creators on TikTok. You said you love podcasts. I wonder if there's anything where you've consistently sort of found yourself often recommending it to someone else as a, you know, and I'm not talking about necessarily for professional comparison or as a good example. I'm thinking for fun, for joy, for creative stimulation. Anything that you've really loved.
Oh, I'm going to go with what first sprung to mind because I feel like my brain was like doing a million things just then. But there is a book, and I think, I don't think I've actually mentioned this in our chat yet, Jamie, but a story at the end of the day, it helps you, yes, helps you figure out kind of, there's lessons and morals included within a story. And I think short stories are really powerful for that, because you don't have to kind of commit to reading a whole book if maybe your time poor, which unfortunately a lot of us are. But if you still want to get that immersive experience or have a lesson sink in, and also have space for kind of like inspiration and discovery, as you mentioned, I love that word, discovery. A book that is one of my favorites is Women Who Run With the Wolves. I don't know if you've heard about it, but it's a book. It was written in the early 90s, and it's hard to describe, but it's kind of made up of fables and folklore. And you don't have to just be a woman to read it. I think anybody could get something out of it, just to add that in. But each story is kind of like a mini fable, and it helps you kind of reflect, learn something a little bit about yourself each time. And you can kind of just, it's one of those books, I have it on my bedside table. I can just dip in and out of it as I went and as I want to. And I learn something new every time, even if I'm reading the same story again. But it's kind of like mythical folklore and things, but it's still very pertinent to modern day, but there's still that escapist element. And it's about kind of just living your life. There's sort of a personal development, loose personal development thread to it, but kind of packaged in this very beautiful, elegant storytelling fable and folklore.
Wonderful. That is Women Who Run With the Wolves, Myths and Stories of the Wild Woman Archetype by Clarissa Pinkola Estes, psychoanalyst. 1992. I'm obviously Wikipedia-ing here, by the way.
I was like, wow, you've got some great knowledge of that book.
No, I've heard of the book, but I can't say I've read it. I will now put it on my list, and I'm sure many folk listening will. It sounds brilliant. Our time is drawing to a close, sadly. So first of all, quickly, you have something coming up in Sheffield, the event hosted at Union Street. That's Friday the 4th of October, is that correct?
Yes, it is Friday the 4th of October. So at Union Street, I'm really excited. I'm hosting a workshop there called Authentic Selling with Storytelling, and there are still some tickets left if you go to Eventbrite, and we're going to be talking about the power of story, some of the things we've talked about today, actually, like why we take a story first approach, how to craft different stories, where you can share your story. So just going really deep on some of the topics that we've talked about today. And yes, I have another on the 26th of November with the Sheffield Social Enterprise Network. So similar topics, but we're going to be specifically looking at if you're a social enterprise, how you can turn that into your superpower, and like the connection between social entrepreneurship and storytelling, and how to really optimize that side of yourself to your audience, so that they can really tell what impact you are trying to make.
Wonderful. Okay, links for both of those will be in the show notes. If you're listening on FM or DAB radio, just look up Business Live, Sheffield Live. You'll find a podcast of the show, and within the notes that are attached to that, we always put links to resources from our wonderful guests. Brilliant, Becky. Thank you. And secondly, then, your website. First of all, give us the address and tell us what people could find on there that they could use to help them on this journey or in this process.
My website is consciouscommunicationschool.com, and you can find out a little bit about my services on there, whether you're looking to you're looking for a one-to-one unique in 90 session, or perhaps the six-week program, or if you're looking for somebody to just take the reins and actually create that content and craft a brand campaign for you. I'm able to help with that as well. But I also have on there, as a kind of starting point, Jamie, I've got a quiz, a brand, how effective is your brand strategy quiz. It only takes 5 minutes to complete, and it will teach you how well you know your brand, and then the steps that you might need to take to become more aligned with your brand. We look at idea generation, audience relationship, your competitors, and the value that you're providing. So I recommend that's a great place to start. And there's just a link at the top of the website for the quiz.
Wonderful. That sounds brilliant. Well, Becky, it's been absolutely fantastic to talk through everything today. So much ground that has been covered. Lots of practical advice that you've given to people. Found it fascinating myself, and I hope it's helpful to listeners. So, Becky Collins, Rebecca Collins, people can find you at the Conscious Communication School. Thanks ever so much for joining us on the show today.
Thank you.
We're open for business life.
Sheffield Live. Made in Sheffield, made by you.
This old house is a tumbling down. The walls are gone, but the roof is sound. The landlord's deaf, you can never be found. It's time to ring some changes. Arrest your son if you just stand still. I'll ask you to pose with your hand in the till.